Well, welcome to the Repos Non-League Show. We're here again for about the next hour or so. And I'm really pleased to say that joining us tonight, I'm really pleased to say we've got Barry, of course, the new owner down at Maldon and Tiptree, and of course, the living legend himself in Kev, of course, the manager as well. So it's great to have you on board, guys.
Thank
Driving us.
you.
Thank you.
So, Barry, if we can start with Kevin. People might have heard us sort of talking to him sort of loosely before we actually physically started the programme. But I mean, Kevin, I mean, the last time I saw you, we was up in Reading Football Club, enjoying the hospitality of the Southern League, and you were picking up trophies after trophy after trophy, and at step three, and now you've taken a job back at back into step four. I mean, what made you go come back to Maldon and Tiptree?
A number of reasons, really. Obviously, first and foremost, I've got to say I love my time at Needham. We had a lot of success, like you said. Getting out of step three and step two was massive for the football club. But this opportunity become available. It's a club that obviously I've been at before. Location-wise works for me, but the big thing was once meeting Barry and Scott, the owners, their plans for the football club, not just the football club, but for the community outside of the football club. And what they wanted to do just tick boxes for me. So, as tough as it was to leave Needham, it was an easy job joining Maldon and being part of something, hopefully, that turns out really special.
He's somebody just tuning in to watch, and we've got to say a big hello to him because I haven't seen him for a long period of time. And I know he's a friend of yours as well. And we're talking about living legends of non-league football. Mr. Mark Morsley is watching. So, hello, Mark. And nice to see
Mark.
you. So Barry, I suppose same sort of question for yourself. I mean, what sort of interested you in such a great club like the Maldon and Tiptree? And one thing I want to say before you answer that question, I've seen your new badge online. And I've seen some of the sort of feedback you've got from the new badge. And I'm sitting there scratching my head because I thought it was an absolutely sensational badge. It might get me a lot bad, I might start getting some grief like you did with it. But it's like, I thought the badge was absolutely outstanding.
Well, thank you. We like it. That's why we've adopted that one. But we actually did go to our club members and we asked them what they thought about it. We gave them three choices, and the badge we ended up with was the one that we liked, and that was what we've gone with. But it seems like the majority of people who don't like it are people from other clubs. So you know what? We can't please everybody, and that's not what we're out to do anyway. I don't care if we piss people off from other clubs around the country. I'm more bothered about our own fans, you know. And so it's our community, it's little Maldon, and you know, we want to put Maldon on the map. We need to move into this new era with the dynamics to be sellable and, you know, get to the point where the club is sustainable and, you know, doing the things it needs to do, like every other, you know, non Premiership club in the country. You know, we don't have the funds that some of these big clubs have. The millions and millions they get from TV deals just don't come into clubs like ours right now. That's not to say that at some point, you know, they may well do, depending on how well we do. So we like our badge. Thank you for mentioning it.
I mean, so what sort of was you a fan of Maldon and Tiptree first before sort of coming to sort of take over the club? I mean, how did it all come about?
Well, you know, Scott, my partner, actually, he loves football. He lives and breathes football, especially Manchester United. I've got to just drop that in. But
Oh, he said he loved football.
yeah, he remembers them when they were good, though. Keeps on telling me that he's not a Glory supporter and that he'll stick with them through the bad times as well as the good times. So, anyway, and it just kind of happened. We were talking to another local club about doing some kind of sponsorship or getting involved in some way. And then it kind of just came on our radar that there was a possibility that the guy who owns the club, Richard Cowley, might be interested in selling. And so we made an approach and they were just really receptive to it. And we met over a I think we started looking at the club in October, November last year, and February the 5th we completed and we became the owners. So it was kind of fast, really. And when you think you had Christmas and all of that kind of stuff, and there was a lot going on in our personal life as well. You know, we've got other business interests and things were, getting busy around Christmas time. So, and we actually don't live in the UK. We live in Florida. We live in Miami in Tampa. And so this is the coldest I've been in the last 10 years, to be honest with you. I just can't believe how cold it is. And then we didn't want to leave. We should have left the UK about 3 or 4 weeks ago, but we didn't want to leave until everything had been completed and the sale was through. And then, for whatever reason, we ended up losing a manager before we took over, and we had to suddenly quickly find a manager. We were talking to Netflix and Amazon about doing a documentary about the takeover and all that kind of stuff. And just loads of different things happened all at once. And so we decided to stay around, and we've been, talking with our sporting director, who luckily knew the club really well because he'd been working there previously as the general manager. And so, between us, we were able to, keep things going, and he helped us find and identify several good candidates to take over as manager. We interviewed them, and we had even contemplated at least two other ones. Then he said, "Oh, before you make your mind up, there's one other person you should see." And he did that to me twice, actually. And when he introduced the first of this, "Oh, you need to meet this one," I was like, "Oh my God, he's so good." And then he went, "Yes, but there's one more. This guy used to play for City, and he went to West Ham, and this one's actually got a really good personality, and he might fit the kind of thing we're looking for." And then I met Kevin, and well, because I don't really follow football, I had no idea of his past or anything, only what I'd seen on Google, and I didn't know what his personality was like from Google. And my dad was here. We're from Manchester. My family's from Manchester, so my dad is from Manchester. And the minute Kevin walked in, my dad's got Alzheimer's, but the minute he walked in, my dad was like, "Oh my God, feed the chicken,
Feed the goat.
feed the goat." I don't know what it is, one of those. And anyway, just the fact that my dad was able to go back, 10 or whatever, 15 years ago or 20 years ago, or whatever it was, that just literally sold it for us. And then we met him properly, we had a few meals, all that kind of stuff. And without doubt, he was absolutely the best person to bring in for this job. The hardest thing was trying to convince somebody at such a high level who had such an amazing career and who is so well respected in this industry to actually come on board with the little old club that he kind of helped out at a few years ago, and try and convince him to come back and give our boys who are there the skill that he has as a manager, and help train them and get them ready. But for whatever crazy reason, he agreed, and he's now sat here in my dining room.
What was, I mean, and it's not necessarily a football question, but you said about your father's illness. What was that? That must have been like a, if he wasn't sure, that must have been a massive tick in the box when with that sort of illness. I know my mother-in-law passed away, a few years ago from it, and but that for me, that to you must have been wow. That must have been a sort of that sort of a moment when he's recognised Kevin as soon as he's seen him.
Well, my dad's got the onset of Alzheimer's.
Barry, just so you know, we've lost your sound. All of a sudden, your sound's just dropped off.
Better?
That's better. Yeah, we're there now. I can hear you again.
Oh,
Yeah.
your sound's gone off now. For us as well, it's very, very low. But I guess for him to just suddenly be where he was in his head when Kevin walked in, and it
Yeah.
was almost like he was back with us. It was like my old dad was there again,
Yeah.
chatting the shit he used to chat about. So it was amazing. It was really good. And he was saying things to Kevin that just went right over my head, but he understood what he was talking about, stroking the whatever it was, the goat or the chicken or whatever the hell it is. But it was just funny that he was just, and it actually brought tears to my eyes sitting there listening, because my dad remembered then all the players he used to play with. Well, if he'd have said that to any of us in the house, we would never have had a clue what he was bloody talking about. But this one went straight into a whole conversation about these old time players. I mean, I'd be all tied up, isn't
Yeah,
it?
they, well, they are. We had, look, we had a
But
good catch up. It was weird because there's staff that live in the house and working here, and all of a sudden I said, look, there's two fellas coming with Man City tops on, and it was Barry's dad and brother. So they come over saying about feed the goat, and look, we reminisced about the good old bad times, if you want, back in the day at City. Mark Morsy, who's listening, will know a lot about that as well. It was tough times to be a Man City fan, but there he was, Barry's dad wearing his City colours, and we spoke about the past and stuff. And the last thing I think Barry's dad said was to Barry was, "Are we going to see Kevin again?" And he said, "Maybe." So I was quite hopeful that I would hopefully get the job. So I've probably got Barry's dad to thank a lot for it as well.
you got it on your own merit.
So, I mean, most people, possibly a little bit surprised that you've come in, et cetera, but tell the fans a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background. Some people that may not know that, and I know it's been you've had press release and several, but for people that might be watching for the first time and looking and thinking, okay, well, who is Barry? Do you know what I mean? And who is your partner, Scott? What are we expecting from them? I mean, tell us a little bit about a bit about your background.
There's probably not much that isn't out there in the public eye anyway. I was married to somebody else at one point, Tony. Tony and I, the first gay dads in the UK, we were the first same-sex couple to have children in the UK, with them both being, with both of our names being registered on the birth certificates, parent one and two. Tony and I split up 11 years ago, actually, and going into our 12th year now. And I met Scott, and I've been with Scott since then. Scott's a complete football freak, and I've never understood it. The offside rule still confuses me to this day, even though I've had 20 of the best players in the country telling me exactly what it means. It still has not sunk in.
Still confuses it at all, Barry. It confuses everybody.
Oh, it does, trust me. Because you need a degree to understand the rules of football. I tell you what, you do need a bloody degree for understanding the ref's decision on a match day, because I still don't get what these refs are up to half the time. All I hear is half the fans going, "Ref, ref, look," and I'm like, what?
I'm an Arsenal fan, and I have no idea some of these referees' decisions, but that's beside the
Who are Arsenal? Are they any good then?
They're pretty good, yeah. They're all right.
Okay.
They're doing all right. Not as good as City, obviously,
We're doing better than
but
United.
better than Manchester United, yeah.
Okay.
What's the sort of plans then for Morden? I mean, you've had a couple of games so far, and to sort of get dipping your toes in the water, and you've got sort of Haringey and Cambridge this weekend at their brand new stadium as well, and that must have been a little bit of a maybe a little bit of a I don't know what's it confidence booster for you when you see Cambridge's new ground and seeing what that looks like up there. And
Absolutely. Cambridge's new ground is phenomenal. It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's still not finished, I understand, and the main area wasn't finished and all that, but what an amazing ground. Very, very, very welcoming people as well, So thanks to them, we had a great weekend there. Our boys came away feeling a lot happier than they did the weekend before. But I guess for us, we want to see them do well. And that's why we wanted someone like Kevin, and Kevin's got a really tough decision over the next couple of weeks, because we're getting to a point now where he's been with us now for a couple of weeks. He's having time to evaluate the players that he's inherited. And he's inherited a team that has been brought together by at least two, possibly three managers. And that's very difficult for somebody who's coming in and having to inherit this whole new team of people, and one manager has their ideas on formations and how something runs, and another manager has a different kind of idea. And so this week is going to be a big week, because we've got some new signings coming in, and both our sporting director and Kevin have been sitting down for the last 48 hours working out what positions we've got and what needs to have a change. And unfortunately, some people are just not going to make the cut this week, and Thankfully, it's their decision and not mine.
And how difficult is that, Kev? Because you've got in there, and of course you've come in at the time you've come in, and you've only got probably about 4 weeks before the transfer deadline goes bang, and then you've got what you've got. So I know it's a lot easier than professional game, but you still, I think it's end of March, is it? Something like that, somewhere around that time.
Is it look for me? It's the worst part of the job, if I'm honest. I am a people's person, so telling somebody they're not good enough or not going to be part of the plans, my plans going forward, is tough. Do you know what I mean? I'm a human being, but unfortunately, I've been brought here to do a job, and I think Barry probably underplayed himself and Scott. These are serious people. These look, you hear about people taking over football clubs, and there's people are always skeptical, but I've met them and got to know them over the last 2 weeks, and what they're trying to do at Maldon is special. And there's going to be criticism, of course. There's going to be people that don't believe the hype. Trust me, what they're doing is going to take Maldon and Tiptree Football Club to different levels. So that was obviously a big buy-in for me. And watch this space. It's quite funny all the hate, obviously Maldon and Tiptree are getting now. I knew that was going to come, but it's going to come even more because obviously my job is along with Mitch to put a team together for Maldon and Tiptree to get out of step four initially, but get out of step three as well. We want to keep climbing. Barry and Scott are serious about trying to get Maldon and Tiptree to league football, so they give me a really really healthy budget. I'm not going to hide away from it. They've given me a budget that should get me out of step four, so the pressure's on. That pressure I crave and miss for my playing days, if I'm totally honest. And if Maldon and Tiptree don't succeed, it's on me. It's on me. I don't mind having that on my shoulders. And I'm gonna have to make decisions, some tough decisions. But I'm gonna try and put a squad together with Mitch Cowling, that one makes the fans proud, but do the job also for Scott and Barry.
I mean, I'm just looking at it now. I'm just going to pull up in front of me just the sort of tables, etc., etc. I mean, what we're looking at, a bit too far away maybe for playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit out of reach. You never know, dear. Football's so unpredictable. You don't know. We'd have to win every game, which again is doable. It's been done in the past. It'll be done again in the future. But yeah, this season's about us having a positive end to the season, adding a few faces. I think that's important to get that feel good factor around the group. But then, in mind is getting back to pre-season with a full squad of players that are going to be fit and healthy, buy into everything that we're going to try and do, and pull together and try and get Maldon Tiptree out of step four for the first time in its history.
And I mean, when do you sort of start? When I asked the same question to Paul Halsey at Ware last week or the week before, when we were talking to him, I mean, when do you start planning now then for, next season? I mean, have you already started that already? Looking at it, going, well, I know what players I need now, maybe from now till May, but I also need, oh, Barry, by the way, I need this, and this for next year to sort of climb
He's
up.
doing that already. What are you talking
Yeah.
about? He's like, he doesn't want to employ somebody now just to let them go at the end of this season to restart again. So he's looking at players now that can get us through the rest of the season, but that can take us up a league next season. So it's been difficult.
It is difficult because a lot of the players that the caliber of players that we want to attract to are on contract, and they're up clubs players. So I wouldn't do anything underhanded. So there is going to be some players that I would want to speak to in the summer, obviously. There is a couple that we've got in and a couple more that we will be able to get in. But it's a process that started a long time ago. And Barry and Scott have backed me to the hilt. Like I said, they've given me a really, really healthy budget for step four. So yeah, it's all in my hands to deliver what they want. And that brings pressure in itself because I've never really had it before. At Needham, we had a reasonable budget, but it'd probably been the lowest at step two, probably bottom third at step three. So it is possible of having success without a big budget. I'm not going to just throw cash around because the owners are wealthy doesn't mean I waste it. I've got players in mind and players on the list where I think they would be good enough to get this club out of step four. So if I can do that as cheap as possible, I will do it. It's not a case of more than just throwing money about because that's not always the way to bring success.
Happy days, cheaper the better.
I mean, some people will ask me, someone's just texted me now and just said, asked whether or not there's still going to be a connection because of your connection previously with Colchester. Is there going to be anything around that sort of area? Is that still in place, or is that something that's finished a long time ago?
No. We like Colchester. They use our ground as a training ground as well. We had their under 18s there at the weekend, but they're good people as well. You know, we've built some good relationships with some of the coaches and the managers there, and we want to maintain those relationships because we want to get some good players on loan as well. You know, it's all good when having the highest budget in the league, but it allows us a big budget allows us to go for some of those extra good players a couple of leagues or so above us to attract them down. But you know, you still only have your budget. So once you've used your budget, you've got to look at where else we can go to get some of these up and coming players. And Colchester is an amazing breeding ground for good talent that ends up all over the country. Well, they're our local big club. We want to keep a relationship with both Colchester and Chelmsford and see, you know, where we can partner with them on getting some of their boys seeded, you know.
No, absolutely. I mean, I suppose, are you then the non-league version now then of Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, I don't know about that. He's much more. He probably hasn't got as much money as we have, but he's still more famous than we are.
I think I've touched on it. This is similar. There is similarity to there. You've got to say that. And Barry and Scott are serious about. This isn't just a football club. This isn't just a drop in the pan where you go out where we play around with a football club. They live nearby. They want this football club to be the hub for their family. They want it to be successful, obviously, but they want it to be for the community. This is a long-term project for these. This isn't just something that's going to come and go in the blink of an eye. This is that. So it's got the potential to be that.
I
But
mean, Maldon's just literally the actual club is 10 minutes from my front door here in the UK. So I want it to work because I want to give something back to my local community. I live in the next village to Maldon, but I'm right on the border. So it's 10 minutes from door to door. And my first business was set up on Maldon High Street. So for me, there's a massive connection there. 30 years of working in the local area, and I owe Maldon a lot. You know, I made my money from my business in Maldon. I mean, my business is all over the world now, but I'm not going to forget the place where I started. You know, 40 years ago, I was living in a council house. Now I'm living in a £7 million house in the middle of a village in Essex, and I love it. Do you know what I mean? And it's all thanks to the business I grew on Maldon High Street. So for me, I want to be able to give back to the local community. They're like, you know, an extended part of my family now, and I want to give back.
So away from the actual playing side of it then, Barry, what's the sort of plan? What's the plans for you? You know, is there going to be a change in sort of like stadium? Is it going to be a change in pitch? Is there going to be a change in, I mean, what are you looking at in doing in sort of like the sort of the inner workings of Morden?
I think refurb, absolutely. But there are certain things that each league requires anyway. So to get to that next step, we need to have so many seats or standing area or turnstiles and all of that kind of stuff. And right now, we're working with one of those FA representative consultant people who's been going around the pitch, making sure it's the right size, the right depth, the grass is the right grass. You know, we want to put a 3GD ABC thing in, you know, that things. They're talking about one of those and a dome, and you know, it's a 20-acre site, it's huge, so there's lots of space there to do things. The only thing we're quite kind of short of right now is car parkings to accommodate the amount of people that have shown an interest. Predominantly, the club's been getting 150 people regularly. You know, on our first weekend of our very first game there was 530 people there. That's massive. You know, I think we had the highest number in our league for that weekend. So, you know, it was just amazing. And this weekend we're at home to Basildon, and we're having people phoning every day to find out where they park or if there's a local hotel. So people are looking and seeing things on social media, and the BBC have been brilliant. They published four or five articles on the club. They've been down, they've done massive reviews. You know, all of that is kind of making people want to come and see what the hype is and see what's going on. So, we're welcoming as many people as possible right now. The new signings have definitely helped. People recognize Gary Hooper, and they want to see him play. That he's local now. They want to come and see what the hype is with him. We've got Elliot Justham from Redbridge and Dagenham. Or is it Dagenham and
Dagenham and Redbridge, yeah.
Redbridge? Yeah,
Yeah.
one of those.
Yeah.
Anyway, and people love him. They want to come and see him save a goal. He's like, when you look, I saw him on the pitch for the first time at the weekend. I'm like, bloody hell, he's like a Goliath. He's huge. This guy just jumped, he's not scared. I've watched goalies over the last few months and they kind of scared to go, this guy jumps in, he's kicking the ball, he's punching the ball out of the way. That's a real goalkeeper that we found there. So I'm excited to see the team that these two are putting together because they're incredible. It's get I can't wait. I can't say anything. They keep on telling me to shut up. I'm getting somebody's looking at me now saying, don't say that. But there are a couple of new signings coming out this week, and our PR manager is staring at me and Kevin across the room is saying, don't mention it. You want to, but don't say it. But there are a couple of key signings again this week. And one of them is very well known on TV for a particular TV show with millions of followers and all that kind of stuff. So we're looking forward to making these announcements as the week progresses.
Yeah. And I mean, you talk about Gary. I mean, Gary Planet Kettering. I mean, he was, he's been on the team, he was on TV, when the Kettering Cup run. I mean, that's a great acquisition to have back down at the club, especially with his experience. I mean, he's got the experience a bit like, Kev has as well. I mean, he's got such a wealth of experience to have him in there with some of those younger players that you've got inside
Yeah.
involved in that squad. He's will be a massive bonus for you.
Massive bonus. And we could see that at the weekends, the way he was working with those younger players and feeding them the ball. He was just so good to watch at the weekend. People want to see that as well. People want to come to a match and they want to be entertained. And we're trying to put together a group of entertaining footballers that people want to see. We want you to come and enjoy a good match, but we want you to bring your girlfriend and your kids and let them be really into it with you as well, so.
Excited, Kev. I mean, I know you can't say, and I'm not even going to ask you. I wouldn't even ask you who's coming, who's not coming in. But I mean, you've got that situation where now you can maybe when you was at other clubs, you didn't have that sort of you couldn't have had that chat with a certain player. Where now you can have that chat with a certain player. And I know Barry sort of said it's his partner that's football mad. Well, I don't know if anybody else, if people are actually physically watching this tonight or will watch it or hear it on podcast. But the enthusiasm coming from Barry, well, if he's not that interested in football as much as his partner is, I'd hate to think what Scott's like when he's talking about football.
Terrible. Look, it's exciting times. I feel very lucky to be given the opportunity to manage the football club and be part of it, and then trust me in managing their football club. That they're very infectious people, and their enthusiasm's unbelievable. And like you say, just listening to, I think that's what appealed to me. Obviously, I was skeptical, but meeting them and knowing their plans and their enthusiasm. And they're prepared to put the money where their mouth is, where many people aren't, and go, do you know what? There's a healthy budget. This is what we're doing. It's unbelievable for me to be sat here. So I've not really had been in this position before. I'm normally relying on Felix Stowe or Barry Town or Sudbury not being interested in the playoffs for me to get them at Needham. So it's a very different situation for me, but one I'm really excited about. I'm really looking forward to, and I love the pressure that's now on my shoulders.
Well, Mark Morsey said I've been rumbled watching. I mean, there's a lady called Laura Jones, and I think she's a Witham Town fan, so one of your local rivals, said, are you looking forward to coming to play Witham on 1st of March? And then she's put underneath it, I suppose, I don't know if it's a knock or whatever else, but are you going to sort your floodlights out?
I love it. First of all, we love Witham. It's just down the road, and I go through Witham every day to get to Braintree. But I love Witham. It's brilliant. We can't wait to welcome them to our new ground with lovely new fitted out floodlights, which is right. Those floodlights were horrendous. But remember Witham, they were before my time. And they are so actually, in all fairness to the previous owners, they're the ones who sorted them out. So they are done. Yeah, she's referring to a match that they had there. And was it against Witten when the lights went out? It was, wasn't it? And all of a sudden the bloody lights went out, and of course it's pitch black and no one can see a thing. So they all, I think if I remember rightly, they all had their little phones out trying to do one of those
She
Elton John candle in the wind
put
moments. Honestly,
she's actually put
crazy.
love it. But she that was the game that she must have been at. And of course they've got a very famous fan as well. So I dare say you'll be looking forward to meeting Mr. Beardwell as well, because of course he'll be there, and if you don't see him, you'll certainly hear
He's a legend. Do you know
him.
what? I love watching his stuff on social media. Look, he's a great lad. He devotes his life to following Witham and England. I've done a number of interviews with him. Look, non-league football is about people like James, volunteers that follow the club through thick and thin, the cold Tuesday nights. Do you know what I mean? He's there. So for me, he's the beacon of non-league fans. He's an unbelievable fella.
I mean, I'm sitting here now and I'm just listening to the two of you, and I'm excited for you now, because I've got nothing to do with the club, but I'm actually sitting here. I'm really excited just to see what comes, what actually physically comes for you, because I mean, Barry, you coming across as such a fantastic guy, and I know Kev's a fantastic guy anyway. I mean, it really does feel like there's a lot of passion to go into it. I mean, someone has just asked me a question. You said that you normally live in the US. So someone's asked, is when you are in the US, who's going to be doing the day-to-day running of the football club?
That will be our manager, Kevin, and it will be the sporting director. But what I've done is I've kind of made it a little bit more corporate-y, the club and the club feel. So I've installed a financial director. There's a beverages manager. There's a facilities manager, and I've installed all these different job roles so that they've got the backup. No more faulty towers where one person's expected to run around and do 20 different jobs, all that kind of stuff. Scott and I have a young family together. Our daughter's 4 and our son's 2. Valentina, who's our daughter, actually starts school in September, and I've enrolled her in Felsted here in the UK, in Essex. So from September, we will be here full time. Between now and September, we'll be going backwards and forwards. But I've no doubt that the management team we have in place here can run that place a lot better than me and Scott can.
I think even if you didn't have children, Barry, I think your passion for the club has come through massively tonight, I must admit. I think you'd have given up your place in US anyway and come back anyway.
No.
If you want, I'll look after the holiday home if you want, someplace.
Well, doesn't this come with a job then, Barry? Kev, no?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but look, who knows? If we get a big success, who knows? I
Yeah.
might get an outbuilding in the garden or something.
But I mean, all fairness, I don't know. One of the games. I mean, I'll get to hopefully get to meet you both again, especially I'll get to meet Kevin again and maybe Barry for the first time, because on the 29th of March, you come down to Waltham Abbey, which is my local club just around the corner. Literally, no more than a couple of goal kicks from where I'm sitting. So hopefully, I'll pop down for that one and get to see you both as well and say hello in person as well. But in a
That would
big.
be lovely.
But I mean, you've got, as you say, you've got Basel at the weekend, and at home. So I mean, what are we expecting from that, Kev? I mean, are you expecting the squad you've got now, or will you have players, other players involved in that as well?
Potentially, yeah. I think from coming in, obviously it's important to give everybody a chance. I didn't want to come in and just dismiss people. But I've been here 2 weeks. The first game I was involved with wasn't great, if I'm honest. We went 1-0 up and end up losing to Haringey. At the weekend, we were much improved. Nil-nil, should have won on the day at Cambridge, I believe. So, look, I'm just looking for steps forward in the right direction and improvement. Like I said, to have a positive end to the season, to put a few new faces in there, but really to hit the ground running in pre-season. So, I'd be looking for an improvement on Saturday and hopefully that first elusive 3 points.
Yeah, no. I mean, Barry was talking earlier on about the attendance, 500, in the last home games. So when you start, and Haringey, no disrespect, he's don't have a great, attendance at home, smaller attendance at home than some of the other clubs in the league. But you look at some of the clubs that you have got coming up. You've got Grays, very big supported side in this. Brentwood Town, Bury Town, who've got a massive following. Walthamstow, Heybridge Swifts. So you've got some of the bigger boys coming towards you anyway.
Yeah, look, it's exciting. So I think for non-league football, it's been an exciting time anyway. But when you have owners like Baron Scott coming into a football club and investing in it and wanting to move it in a direction that only other non-league clubs can dream of, it brings a lot of hype. Obviously, then there comes the haters. So look, the script's being written. There's people talking about Morning Tiptree, and it's about us now delivering it. And hopefully the crowds grow week on week, because there is going to be a bit of hype about it. There's obviously going to be loads of people that want us to fall flat on our face, and I get that. But there's also going to be a group of players and a group of staff and owners of Morning Tiptree doing all they can to be successful.
And isn't that, I suppose in life, I suppose it's one of those things, Barry, that, when you start getting that sort of criticism, you know you're doing the right stuff.
Oh, I love it. I've spent the last 26 years of my life being criticized online by people who really don't know me. But what they don't realize is those haters make you famous, and those haters set the algorithms, I'm sure, as you know, going through the roof. Pre the acquisition of the club was doing probably about 110 kind of impressions and visits to the websites and social media, 110,000 per month. Now, just in the last couple of weeks, we've done over 5 million over all of our social media. So, hello, and thank you very much. That's all I've What they don't realize is that the social medias that we've had monetized are just going through the roof. So you've just paid the first 3 months of staff wages for me anyway. Happy days, you eejits. Come on, I love it. Give me more.
Well, I mean, what could more than the Tiptree fans expect from you and Scott in the next, for the rest of this season? Forget the playing side of it. What sort of new stuff will they be seeing around the club, maybe even social media wise, or well, I see you've got a new website coming up, but I mean, what sort of stuff will they be expecting to see, from you guys between now, because it's a short space of time between now and the end of the season. What would they be expecting to see?
Apart from some exciting football, hopefully, from these new players that we're bringing in, the renovations around the clubhouse are well in gear and what have you. And I think the one thing that I can promise our supporters is transparency all the way. We like meetings, and we like to talk to people. And I'm from Manchester. I can talk all day to whoever the hell wants to talk to me. But I think for us, we want to engage more with the local community. We've got 235 boys at the moment that are on our youth teams that we want to help get to some kind of a or help develop some kind of a pathway. And one of Kevin's remits over the next few months is to work with those guys who are the managers of those youth teams and try and work out what is the next step for them. We don't currently have an under 18s or an under 21s, and we certainly don't have a women's team. But trust me, we will have all three, including a woman's team. We want to really push the boat out, get the best we can get or that are available. And we want to have a clear pathway for those boys. We've got so many good boys on our youth team that we're losing out on. We don't even get the opportunity to try and train them up for our first team because they've gone off, because we don't offer the 16s or 18s or 21s or whatever. So we need to be able to keep them. We lost two really good boys in the last month, Roman and Joshua, who were both Maldon and Tiptree youth, who have just been signed 2 weeks ago to Ipswich Town. Well, they should have been signed by Maldon and Tiptree, not Ipswich bloody town. They're on our doorstep. They've been coming to the youth team for 10 years. So we lost out big time. And we have done for many years. So we need to correct that. We need to see the value in that younger generational expertise coming through and train them and try and retain them. That's what we want to do. But for us right now, it's about engaging our local community, getting them on board, getting them behind this project for us, and seeing, where we can, where we can improve. You know, we don't know what we're doing wrong if nobody tells us, and we can't do the right thing. And you know, we can do what we think's right, but let us know. We're interested. If you don't like the badge, tell us. You know, we're not gonna shy away and cry. You know, I'm happy to sit down and talk to anybody who wants to talk. What I'm not happy to do is sit and listen to idle gossip or idiots online, the keyboard warriors who never leave their bedroom, sitting on their little laptops. You know, oh no, I haven't got the time for that crap. But I'm more than happy to engage, you know, in a slanging match online. If anybody wants to do that as well, just let me know. Remember, you're helping my algorithms, and my algorithms are going through the roof right now. And I'm monetizing all my social media, so happy days.
But Barry, I mean, what would be, is it a situation as well? And we've got to be sort of careful with this. It's fantastic that, you know, Maldon are going to be going in the right direction. They're going to be pushing forward and with it. But what about those fans that you've got there that might be sort of the older fans that are looking at it and going, oh, is he going to rip this? You know, are they going to rip this to the heart and soul out of my football club? I mean, what would you say to the older people that have been there following Maldon for years and years and years? And all of a sudden, yes, it's all going to be fantastic, which I know it will because I can tell by your enthusiasm. But what would you say to those, you know, the older generation that have been there for years, maybe those ones that have been in that sort of 60, 70 that have turned up every week? What would you be saying to those guys to put their minds at rest a little bit as well?
Well, to be honest with you, those guys are our bread and butter. They're the guys who've been coming week in, week out. They travel miles without a moan, and they go and watch those matches away and at home. They're the core supporters that we are thinking about. Okay, you know what? We've changed the badge. They only had that badge for 15 years when Maldon and Tiptree got together. So it's not like it's a 100 or 300 or 400-year-old badge like some clubs are, and like some clubs have changed. We're changing a badge that was made or established 14 maximum years ago, that not very many people liked anyway. But the fact that it has changed, the only people that seem to have had a massive problem with it are the people from other clubs. And that's fine. You know, we've got a couple of local clubs where their social media managers are online, and we're like, happy days, keep those algorithms going, mate. So, you know, our core supporters, that older group of people, the majority of them were sat in the audience when we voted for what badge we were going to go with. And they're nice. They're just nice people. They're local people, you know, 45 plus. They've been around the club for donkey's years. And, you know, they're ready for a change. They want to see some good players coming through. You know, Maldon, I don't know if you remember, but Maldon and Tiptree, they've been on the TV now twice. You know, they had these cup run things, and, you know, they were big matches for the, I think the attendance was like 1700 on one of those matches. That's incredible for any team in our league. So, you know, we want to bring them back those kind of good times. We want them to enjoy it. We want them to be involved. You know, we're very active with the club association, the Jammers. They've all been very supportive behind Scott and I. I think for us, our main worry was, are they going to let these two puffs come in and, you know, run their football club? Well, that's not been one issue at all, certainly not with our fans. And that's where we were, I guess, probably more wary than them being bothered about any of the other plans we were going to do. I didn't think for a minute the badge would be a big issue. I thought they'd be more worried about our sexuality, and not one person. It's not been an issue with one. You know, we've got, I think, to be honest with you, we've got one of the best sets of older supporters around. They've just been wonderful. Even to the point that they're sending me to-do lists. Don't forget, you need defense. Defense is good. And if you haven't found a groundsman yet, three of our guys work in this massive house, and they'll come down, they'll bring their equipment, and they've just been so good. I can't begin to tell you what a wonderful bunch those Jammers and the rest of them are.
And I mean, you was talking about earlier on. I mean, did you get any luck with Netflix and that? Did they say they're going to come? They should.
Well, Netflix and Amazon and one other TV station, actually, we've been talking to, and we are filming a documentary at the moment. Whether that ends up with this independent production company is still up for debate. We're just talking to people at the moment. no decision has definitely been made. But it's got to be the right package, the right deal for the club. You know, it isn't just about me and Scott. This is about the club now, and this is the greater good. And it's who's going to give not just the better airtime, but who's going to give the better narration of what we're trying to get out there. Because I've done TV for 20 odd years, so I know exactly how some of these people work. And what I don't want to do is put people in the firing line to be ridiculed or made fun of or anything else. This is a serious thing for us, you know, and we want to make sure that we do it right. So until we get that right deal, the production company is going to hold on to the footage, and we'll decide where it goes later.
I mean, Kevin, I mean, with it yourself. I mean, it's looking forward, I suppose, if we skip forward and maybe into next year. I mean, it's going to be an exciting finish to this year, but it's going to be you're going to have a lot of, how can I put it, anticipation on your shoulders, especially from the fans as well, for next year.
Yeah, and rightly so. That obviously Scott and Barry have made a big investment in this football club. So there is going to be a bit of pressure. There is going to be people wanting to know what's going on, and it's about me putting together a squad that's going to deliver. There's, like I say, there's cameras about already. I'm getting mic'd up, so I'm getting used to that. I've got a face for radio, so I'm not getting too bad. But again, I'm excited. I'm excited by it. More than fans should be excited. What's happening at their football club? Because I'm telling you now, it's real. It's real, and I can see things being done on a daily basis. I've gone back into the club today, and already there's the boardroom's been done. There's all cladding put up. It's just changing on a daily basis. The bar's changed already. They're on about doing the bigger bar. It's just incredible what obviously they've said they're going to do to the football club. It's already happening. It's in motion now. It's not obviously going to happen overnight, but there is changes that are visible already. And hopefully the biggest change the Needham fans see is on the pitch, where I can deliver them a winning team, and a team that they can all be proud of.
Is Barry a demanding man? I think
You know what? He's a real honest man, and he's given me all the tools to be successful. By giving me all the tools to be successful, he can be demanding, because he's given me everything I could possibly ask for to make more than a winning football team. So with that comes demands. Obviously, I'm fully aware of that, and I'm like I say, I quite like that pressure, and I'm looking forward to it and getting started.
I mean, it comes across to me that, if Barry says he's going to do something, and again, the proof is in the pudding, as they say, when it goes forward. But for me, just talking to you for the last 50 minutes to an hour, it feels to me that what Barry says he's going to do, 100% he's going to do. And I've got no connections. Before anybody starts firing stuff at me, I've got no connections with Morden and Tiptree whatsoever. But I can honestly say, from just my just sort of feedback, would be that if Barry says, right, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do, because you can just tell by that sort of passion from the man straight away. And you've been working with him for a short period of time, and that must what you must be feeling as well, Kev.
There's no corners that are cut. If things need doing, they're done straight away. Like I said, he's given me a really healthy budget for step four. Again, nothing left to chance. He said, right, there's the budget going. It's incredible, right? And to have two people buy a football club and have this much passion and back it is exciting times for non-league football. So Maldon fans should be really excited, really pleased. And all I ask is, come and have a look what they're doing. Come and have a look what's happening at the football club, and keep coming back and tell your mates to come with you, because this journey is going to be special.
Absolutely. Looking forward to
Tells you
the
we need a crowd in the
battle.
background for our filming on Saturday. So if you're in the Maldon area, please pop in. Yeah, we need a crowd.
You'll get one, I think. But it's just been fascinating talking to you. I'll be honest with you. I'm just sort of so inspired to see what you do for Morden, because it's just fantastic. As I said to you beforehand, before we started actually physically recording, I'm in this job, that I do, as a volunteer. Don't get paid for doing this show, don't get paid for doing any of the other shows I do. But for me, it's about promoting non-league football. And when I see somebody with the passion for it that tells me that he doesn't got as much passion as his partner, and you've got that amount of passion, it'll be very, very interesting to hopefully see Scott when he comes down to Waltham Abbey as well, to see the passion that he's got as well as your own. But I think there's only one way for more than Tiptree from what I've seen tonight, and I do wish you all the very, very best indeed. And and you say about the youth players going to Ipswich and getting the ladies team in, and I think with what maybe you've said tonight, what you've seen in press and whatever else you're going to do in the future, I think it's going to be a case of, well, why would I want to go anywhere else other than more than Tiptree? And people in that local area will be coming to you because they're excited to see the path that the club's going to be going in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the absolute hope. Thank you so much for having us on. We really appreciate it.
Listen, it's not a problem. Anything I can do in the future, you just give me a shout. And if you wanted to come on and you've got anything to promote, it shows open for you, 100%.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as I have, because I think it's been absolutely fantastic. And I'd ask the guys to stay on because I've got a couple of bits to speak to them about afterwards, especially to Kevin. But all I will say is, don't forget to tomorrow night, you'll get to, sorry, should I say Wednesday night, is the Southern League's Goal of the Week show that you'll be able to see on the Southern League's YouTube channel. And also as well, coming up in May, we just started the recording. That starts tomorrow. Of course, it is the fourth season of My Life in Football. Of course, last year we was lucky to speak to a couple of professional footballers and stuff. I can tell you that we are going to have a couple of big stars on this series as well. There'll be 12 episodes, of course, through the off season this year that you will get to see and listen to the stories of some of the people in non-league football. As I say, season four of My Life in Football will start at the end of April, beginning of May. But from me, from Barry, and from Kevin, a massive thank you for watching tonight, and good night.